four voices that beckon every believer to the ripening harvest fields. There's a sense in which every Christian is a missionary. We use the term missionary to refer to persons who have been called by God to serve full time on home or foreign fields. We understand the technical usage of this term, and yet there's another sense in which every one of us who know Christ as our Savior are missionaries. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul speaks to us of one of these four voices that beckons us to the great harvest fields of earth. It is found toward the end of that chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 15, where he says, "Neither do we go beyond our limits, but boasting of work done by others. Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our area of activity among you will greatly expand, so that we can preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. For we do not want to boast about work already done in another man's territory, but let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." There is a call from the regions beyond. Exactly what geographical setting the apostle had in mind, we are not certain. It is thought by some that he was thinking of Spain, for he does speak in another passage about the possibility of going to Spain to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But at least he is thinking of some place beyond Corinth when he uses that expression, "I want to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you." We know that whatever area of earth he was referring to, it was a needy area. Certainly, beyond Corinth, there were cities and towns and villages that had never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Of course, the church was just in its infancy at this juncture, and the gospel was just being spread to the Roman Empire by the ministry of the apostles and others who were being sent out by God. And so there were literally thousands of small towns and hamlets and many large cities to which Paul and others could have gone that would have been included in the regions beyond. If you keep your place there for just a moment and look back at Romans chapter 15, you will notice Paul puts it in a different way there. He says in Romans 15, verse 17 and following, he is so joyful to be able to serve Christ and to preach the gospel. He mentions in Romans 15, 19, how God has honored his ministry by miraculous signs and through the power of the Spirit. And he says in the latter part of verse 19, "I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum." And then in verse 20, he says, "It's always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand." When the apostle uses in to the church at Corinth the phrase, the regions beyond, I believe he's thinking of the same thought as he expresses here in Romans 15. He wanted to preach Christ to people who'd never heard about him. And he said, "God has called me to do this. I want to preach Christ where he has not been named, or where Christ was not known. I want to go into virgin lands. I want to go into new territories. I want to go into cities and towns and villages and countrysides where Jesus Christ has never been proclaimed. Would to God that out of this church and other of our churches, a great host of young people would go with that same burden. It is a burden that the Holy Spirit must lay upon a person's heart. It cannot be concocted. It is not something we can drum up within ourselves. It is a burden and a vision that the Holy Spirit must give to Christians. But I believe he would give it to far more Christians if they were willing to receive it. There are all over this world now thousands of places where Jesus Christ has never been properly preached and where the gospel of Jesus Christ has never been proclaimed. And wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if out of this church again, as 30 years ago when Mrs. Holman and others went, there would be a great host of young people rise up and say, I will go to preach the gospel to people who have never heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. When you just think about it, friends, all over this world, or thousands. I remember being in Sao Paulo a few years ago, one of the largest cities in the world. In fact, I just read the other day it perhaps will become very shortly within this decade the third largest city in the world. And I saw those high-rises and tremendous metropolitan area. And I thought to myself, here in this great city, we have comparatively few churches. Now, that happens to be a good mission field for ABWE and Baptist Mid-Missions, but I'm speaking in a comparative standpoint. We have, what, a dozen churches or something like that in the Sao Paulo area, and most of them are very small. And here's a city of 9 or 10 million people, friends. Why, there are millions of them that would never be touched by any of our churches there if they worked day and night with a few people that they have in them. You want to go somewhere where there are a lot of people who need to hear about Jesus? Well, there's one place you can go, and I could cite many others in other countries of the world. Paul said those regions call because there are needy folk there who need to hear the gospel of Christ. Well, somebody says, how do you get to them, or how do you determine to what field you're going to go? Well, there's a little phrase here in 2 Corinthians 10 in the context of his discussion, which is interesting. Look back at verse 13. He says, we, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but we will confine our boasting to the field God has assigned to us, 2 Corinthians 10:13, a field that reaches even to you. Paul says God has assigned us a field of operation. Of course, Paul's field was much larger than most missionaries. He was going hither and yon preaching the gospel in various countries of the world in his apostolic authority. Generally speaking, God assigns a smaller field to most of us because we have all we can do to handle that one. But God did put boundaries, shall we say, upon the places where Paul was to go. There were some places where the Holy Spirit did not allow him to go. He wanted to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit did not allow him. He wanted to go another place, and the Holy Spirit said, no, you can't go there. He said, you go over here. And so Paul labored in a field God had assigned to him. When God calls people to serve him, he also appoints a field of service. It may be a pastorate. It may be teaching in a Christian school. It may be serving God on a home mission field. It may be serving God on a foreign mission field. It may be in some other kind of Christian work. But God marks out the field, and he says, this is where you are to labor, and this is where you are to work. I want to tell you, there's no greater satisfaction, I say this especially for our young people, no greater satisfaction on earth than to be in the field that God has assigned to you and to be working there. I feel so sorry for people I meet from time to time who never seem to be settled on what they ought to be doing. They're wondering whether they ought to go here and whether they ought to do this, and maybe they ought to quit this job and get another job, and they're wondering whether they ought to move to California or the Bermudas or somewhere. They're always in a flux. They never seem to be settled. I want to tell you, friends, it is a joy to know that you're laboring where God put you. And you're satisfied with that, and you're happy with that. Paul was, and I believe that each one of us can be. It's not a truth only for those who were called to the foreign mission field. It's a truth for every one of us. You need to be happy and contented in whatever field God has assigned to you. I don't know where that is. It may be some factory here in Toledo. It may be some place of business where you work. It may be the office where you are a secretary. That is the field God has assigned to you. However, it is also true that God sometimes calls people from factories and office jobs and other positions and sends them to the Philippines or to South America or to Bangladesh or elsewhere. God does that sometimes. Perhaps he may do that in your life, if you are careful to listen to his voice. So he says, I want to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. Well, how was he going to be able to do that? Ah, that's the key. And right here in this passage, he tells them, verse 15, latter part of the verse, our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our area of activity among you will greatly expand. Now, he did not say to that local church, and by the way, this is addressed to a local congregation. I believe that missionary effort must flow out of local churches and must come back to local churches. Local churches were the hub of missionary activity in the New Testament times. He says, he did not say to them, as your numbers increase, my work will increase, though there's nothing wrong with increasing numbers, getting a larger church, larger congregation. He did not say, as your finances increase, my work will greatly expand, though I believe we should pray for that and give toward that end. But he said, as your faith continues to grow. It seems to me that the apostle here links missionary outreach and expanded evangelistic activity with the growth of faith. There is, dear friends, an element of faith in God's work, lest we forget. I know we're all tempted. I'm as tempted as the next one, being responsible for large amounts of money here, with a large budget like our church has and our school has. We are tempted to strictly apply and only apply business principles to our church and school operation. And if we can't see our way clear to do something, we don't do it. Now, I realize that a pendulum can swing, you know, you can go too far in either direction. There are some people that do foolish things in the name of faith. I know that. But on the other hand, we have to remember what God says. This is what God says in His Word now, not what the pastor says. This is what God says. When your faith continues to grow, our missionary activity will expand. Now, very frankly, friends, we're facing a different kind of missionary activity than we used to face today. Used to be a missionary, got a couple $100s, and got on a old tug of a boat and went over somewhere, and they were over there 4 or 5 years, and they came back, and there was relatively little money involved. I say relatively. Well, I want to tell you, friends, we're into enterprises today that cost thousands and tens of thousands of dollars. Without blinking or batting an eye. Somebody says, well, why does Larry Smith need $30,000 to have a church down there in Chile? And why does Southwell, going to Portugal, need $30,000? Well, I remember they say when people used to get on a boat with a couple $100s and go over to the mission field. Well, I remember that too, friend, but I'm getting old and so are you. Okay, now just face up to it now. We're getting old. 25 and 30 years ago, you could do it. You can't do that today. You go to these foreign lands, you're facing raging inflation, 40-50% a year in some countries. You're talking about immense outlays of money to even start a church. Well, somebody said, well, I remember so-and-so went over there and they started a church on nothing. That's right, I remember that too. But that was 30, 40 years ago. You've forgotten how old you are. Okay? And you just don't do that now. So what's the answer? Well, the answer is that our faith has to increase. We have to believe God for larger sums of money. We have to believe God for bigger projects than we ever imagined 30 years ago on the average mission field. And I want to tell you, it scares me when I look at it. I don't mind telling you, but I serve on a mission board. These missionaries come in with all kinds of wild dreams. At least they seem like that when you hear them. They come in and tell the board, boy, this is going to cost $50,000 and this is going to cost $60,000. But they aren't all wild pipe dreams. And they aren't all carelessness with money. This is realism. This is where we live today. It costs a lot of money to put missionaries on mission fields and keep them there today. And what is the answer? As your faith increases, can we believe God for larger sums of money? Can we believe God as a church to supply, perhaps from unknown quarters, amounts of money that we're going to need to support our missionaries? I believe we can, but it's going to be a new day. We're going to have to pray and ask the Lord to give us more faith. We're going to have to study the Bible. And as our faith increases, work will increase in the regions beyond and in the regions right here at home. The same principle applies, of course. As a church, we expand in the Toledo area, it's going to cost a lot more money than it did 25, 30 years ago when the church was relatively small and was not engaged in the many ministries that they're engaged in today. It's going to cost a lot more money. There's just no way around it. Can God... I ask you that question. Can God? I believe He can. But of course, He will do it in response to our increased faith. Look back in the Old Testament at Isaiah chapter 6 for a moment. Not only is there a call from the regions beyond, there is also a call to the whitened harvest fields from the regions above. In Isaiah 6, we have a description of a man who waited upon God in the temple of old. It was the place of worship for the Jewish believers, the place where the sacrifices were offered, and the place where God's glory evidenced itself on occasion. And we are told about the wonderful vision that Isaiah had, beginning at verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 6. We do not have time to read the whole account, but many of you are familiar with it. While in the temple, the Bible says, Isaiah saw the Lord. Here's the way he expresses it in verse 5. Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. This call that came from heaven came to a man who was on his knees and a man who was on his face and a man whose heart was filled with the glory of the Lord. You know, there's a great deal of discussion today among mission leaders and pastors and Christian workers as to how we can get more missionaries. How can we get more missionaries? And many churches, the supply of missionaries is dried up or is drying up and seems like it's more difficult. Well, I don't pretend to have all the answers to that question. But I think one of the reasons, perhaps, why we are not getting as many missionaries is because of the frothiness and the superficiality of the Christianity of our day. Great missionaries do not come out of superficial and frothy atmospheres, generally speaking. Where did Isaiah come from who went to be a messenger for God? He came out of the holy presence of the Lord. He said, "My eyes have seen the King." Without attempting to undertake God's work and to evaluate what other churches are doing, I think there's a lot of frothiness in the Lord's work today. A lot of whipped up emotionalism and head counting and nose counting. And many people are raised in this kind of a superficial Christian atmosphere, and they've never really learned how to see the King, the Lord Almighty. And as a result, they're not motivated to go anywhere or do anything. I don't think you can just motivate people to do soul winning and missionary work, just beating them over the head and telling them that they ought to do it. I think they need to be reminded they ought to do it, but I don't think that's the only thing that'll motivate them. What motivated this man? He said, "My eyes have seen the King." He said, "I'm filled with the glory of God. I'm overwhelmed with God's goodness and greatness and power and victory and His omniscience and His omnipresence, and I want to go and tell somebody about it." It seems to me somehow we need to cultivate more of that deep spirit of worship in our churches that will then result in motivated service for the Lord God Almighty. Now, the Bible tells us in verse 6 that God heard His confession of uncleanness, and all of us could have such a confession. And He sent a seraph, an angel, with a live coal in his hand that He'd taken with tongs from off the altar, that is, the altar of the Almighty. And with it He touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Why do we not have more response to the call from heaven for missionaries? Because many of us are walking out of fellowship with God. Many of us are walking in sin. Many of us are not prepared to listen and to respond to the voice of God. Isaiah wasn't either until he was cleansed by divine power. Why, he said, I'm a sinful man. He said, I'm not fit to represent Almighty God. And then God cleansed him and God took away his sin. You know what? Maybe there's some dear Christian people here this morning to whom God would like to speak and He would like to call you and He would like to bring you out of this congregation into some kind of Christian service, but you're not prepared. You're living a worldly life. You're living a disobedient life. You have habits in your life that are dishonoring to God. You have a lifestyle that is not pleasing to the Lord. And God simply cannot use you. Yes, there are vast fields that need to be reached, but He has to have clean vessels. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. And so God cleansed His prophet and His servant. Verse 8 says, Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? It seems like when we get right with God, we hear all kinds of things we didn't hear before.